If you want to support us at Clear Vision Revival, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. So this series is basically about how can you get revival. Revival is very simple to achieve, but it's very hard to do because nobody wants to truly follow what the Bible prescribes on how to get revival. They want to do it their own way, and they'll do everything else but God's way. They'll set up programs, they'll set up banners and start declaring things, and you know, they'll start praying into the heavens for revival. They'll start saying we need a move of God here, all of this stuff, and they'll do all of that, but they don't even know what God wants for that town or that city. They don't know what God wants for that church. They just pray stuff that they think sounds good or should get revival. Unfortunately, the idea is to hear God and then pray His will for that place. But first, you have to actually get a clue. First, you have to understand what does God want for this place. And that's the first step. And then you declare that. You start speaking that into the heavens. And then those prayers are inspired. And they go up to heaven and they sit there waiting. The next step is you become, or you find somebody who actually has the capacity to receive those prayers so that they can walk those prayers out. Now, those prayers may have sat up there for generations. Other people may have prayed before you for that area and that city. But if you become a vessel for honor, if you become a vessel that's cleaned up, Jesus did. Angels ascended and descended upon him because he was holy. He was clean. He was able to bring revival and in his day. And he said, as the Father has sent me, I now send you. Instead, we revert back to the same old programs, 12 steps to this, 7 steps to that, CD series. We read about all of the great revivals. We watch videos to try and inspire us. We try to inspire each other, but we're all still unclean vessels. The first thing we need to do is to get before God and get cleaned up so that whatever revival comes down, we'll be able to sustain it for a long, long period of time. Now, revival happens sporadically all over the place, here, there, but it never lasts because the vessels aren't able to sustain that that level of revival, and they are unable to move in the things of the Holy Spirit because they're not cleaned up. God wants to use us. He doesn't want to break us into pieces, and he'll pull back because we're precious to him. And we see the revival dry up. You know, a lot of churches will have a person or go to a great revival meeting. He get touched by God. He'll fall down and he'll get up and say, I'm changed. And he'll go back to his church, and then they'll start seeing people healed. They go, that's amazing. Praise the Lord, we've got revival. And then 3 months later, it all dissipates. And they go, where did that go? And they go, oh, it's just a short move of God. Well, you know, if they actually continued to pray, if they continued to seek God for them to be holy and righteous and able to be worthy to be used, then God would keep sustaining that revival. You know, a lot of people will pray their way into something and all of a sudden they'll become a vessel for honor, and then revival will happen and they'll stop praying because they're too busy doing the revival stuff. No. When you go to the dentist and you get all the plaque ripped off your teeth, doesn't mean you go home and stop brushing your teeth. You got to continue brushing your teeth to keep your teeth clean. You know, when you're walking in revival, when you're walking in miracles and signs and wonders, when you're seeing people's lives change because God's using you, because you got out the way originally and you got full of him, that doesn't mean you stop seeking him. You need to continually fuel up. You need to continually walk in holiness. You need to continually have a close relationship with Jesus and the Father through the Holy Spirit, or else the revival will dry up. But there's a lot of people who they haven't even started the revival because they're not even cleaned up. They're not in a position where they can be used. Now, that doesn't mean they don't know Jesus. You know, people pray and they worship, they sing songs, and they feel the presence of God. And that's wonderful. But they're not a vessel that God can use to bring revival. They're not a person that God can use, or else they'll break. And God just leaves them at that position until they get a clue and they start moving further and further into Him. And then they start getting cleaned up. Then revival comes. And if they stay clean, and if they keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling, revival will be sustainable. I do the same thing. Donna and I, we just pray. We just keep ourselves full of God. And wherever we go, wherever we walk, if we go to a shopping center, we're walking down the beach, we're visiting a church, we're talking to a Christian, we're talking to an unsaved person, God uses us. God breaks through into that person's life. God brings the prayers that person had been praying for, or that church. And He uses us as a vessel that's able to carry that. And we lay our hands on them, and things get done. People get saved. People's lives get fixed up. Revival happens in that little spot. And as we move around, we cause revival in people's lives and in individuals in churches. A lot of the time, we'll pray for people in the church. People will start getting on fire, and the oversight will shut it down because it's uncontainable. They lose control. And that's one of the big no-nos. Don't be a control freak, Mr. Pastor. Let the Holy Spirit move through your church. That's part of revival. You know, when revival comes, people who are not changed enough start to take control. They start to want to maintain it because they don't understand the move of the Holy Spirit. The whole point of having sustainable revival is to get full of God and get out of the way and stay full of God. And then revival will continue. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings revival. And He's looking for vessels that are capable of carrying that revival. It's that simple. So if you get down and you pray in tongues, and you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and the love of God comes over you, and then you might be able to do something. God can do something with you. He can do something with you on the street. He can do something with you in a shopping center. He can do something with you on the beach. And He can do something with you in the church. That's revival. You know, if a church wants a whole town to be full of revival, that church first has to seek God and become a vessel first. You know, there are principles in the kingdom of God, and if you understand the principles, then you'll get things done. Number one, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Right? Wait in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you, and then you will be witnesses unto Jesus up into the uppermost parts of the earth. You know, if you haven't got the Holy Spirit, then how can you get revival? First, get all of your people in your church baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, so that they can warfare over themselves first, and then they can go and they can be vessels for revival. And if they continue the momentum, the revival will stay and it can be sustainable. Unfortunately, the enemy wants to waylay us. He wants to distract us with other things. And if you start having revival in your church and some people start going all weird and crazy and a bit unstable, don't worry about it. Keep going with the revival. And those who are spiritual, those who are full of God, go and attend to those people. Go and straighten them up. Because all that stuff is the darkness, the unchanged stuff floating to the top, weirding people out and, you know, causing disruption to try and slow your momentum down. Don't worry about them. Go and pray over them. Get rid of the darkness off of them. Straighten them up through the Holy Spirit and they'll start participating in the revival. Don't stop. Keep going forward. The enemy wants to distract you, wants to scare you, wants to intimidate you. Oh, they had revival down the road and they all started going weird in that church. That's because nobody knew how to stop the weirdness. Nobody had prayed themselves into a place where they could contend with the weird people, the ones who are not clean, the ones who are not holy, the ones who have weird stuff still left in them. You know, all you have to do is just all seek God, get full of God. Some will get stronger than others, and the revival will flow through them, and the weird ones will carry on. And the ones who are strong, you just pray over the weird ones. It's that simple. You can't pray over weird ones if you're weird yourself. You'll all just be more weird. So the idea is to those who are spiritual, judge things and pray over them. Straighten things up. And then you just keep cleaning up the mess the enemy tries to throw at you, and you continue on in revival. Don't lose your momentum. Stay focused on the revival. Stay focused on Jesus and what he wants to do for that particular place, for that particular church, and things will just continue to happen. That's how you sustain revival. Sometimes we're so excited with all of the stuff that's happening around us, we forget to continue on seeking God and staying clean. Because once we become dirty again, or we become cracked, or we become a vessel that isn't capable of handling the heat, then God won't use us because he doesn't want to destroy us. He'll pull back and he'll wait for someone else to step up and to walk in holiness and sanctification through the Holy Spirit so that he can use them. That's how revival happens. We all know it's not about us. It's about lifting Jesus up. It's about giving him prominence in our life. It's about glorifying the Father and the Son through the agency of the Holy Spirit. It's not about our own glory. Matter of fact, if you sit down and pray in tongues enough, you'll destroy all of your own self-will, all of your pride, and all of your desires to lift yourself up by praying in tongues. That will warfare against those things. And you'll end up walking in humility with Jesus Christ. And then you'll be able to help other people. You know, sitting down and praying in tongues for hours and hours every day for years isn't something that I would recommend to anybody if you wanted to enjoy yourself and tell everybody, aren't you wonderful? It's a hard job to do. It takes discipline. And the only reason that I did it is because God asked me to. He asked me to sit down and pray my way into something that he could use. And I was obedient. You know, in the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21, verse 28, I think, there's two sons. And the father asked them to go out into the field and work. And one said, I will, and he didn't. And the other, he said, nah, I'm not going. But then he repented and he went out. And Jesus asked his disciples, which one was the good son? And they said, the one that actually went out and did the work. There's so many Christians out there who say, I will follow you, Jesus, but they don't. And I was a person who didn't believe in God. I was one who was never going to follow God because I didn't believe in God. I was the son who said no. But then I repented because the power of God came over me and God revealed himself to me, and that I could not resist the sovereignty of God. You know, and Jesus said the prostitutes and the publicans, they will enter into the kingdom of God before the Pharisees or the so-called religious ones that sing about Jesus but don't do anything. All I did was I went out into the field and I worked. I went out and did what Jesus told me to do. And after, well, nearly 9 years now, God is able to use me effectively because I stepped out of the way. I got my own stuff, my own personal ideas and concepts, my own personal self-exaltation, how wonderful I was, and I warfared against it, and the Lord humbled me. And now he's able to use me as a vessel for honor so that he can change and transform other people's lives. So if you think that I'm blowing my own trumpet by saying how wonderful I am praying in tongues for hours and hours every day, then you obviously don't. Because I know people who pray in tongues lots, and they know it's hard work. And I know how much they have to pay to get the stuff to get their brothers and sisters out the ditch. And even the father told me himself how much he appreciated that I actually went and worked in the field. You know, I call it ploughing the field. When you're sitting down all day for hours and hours and hours just speaking in tongues, staring into space, just ploughing the field. And there's lots of us around the world that are doing it. And we have a fellowship of those who sit down and just pray in tongues and get full of God and affect other people's lives. And it's wonderful. We don't do it through man's religious ideas and wonderful speeches, as I said, or through great programs that never ever end up in the manifestation of the kingdom of God in people's lives, because they just keep doing it. We didn't even do it for bragging rights, because who's going to know that we're sitting down and praying in tongues? No, we did it because we wanted to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be used. You know, the Bible says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has transformed us so that we can be vessels that can carry the power of God, so that we can minister to people without buckling, without falling into our own trap of self-pride and look at me, look at me. You know, I just take Jesus' example. He said when there was a whole lot of hanger-oners who just followed him for the miracles, who weren't really serious about him, he said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no life in me. A lot of them who didn't understand what he was talking about, they said, we can't deal with this. And they left. He sorted them out. You know, a lot of times when I meet pastors, not everybody, but certain ones, they'll say, what do you do? And I'll just simply say, I just sit down and I pray in tongues for hours every day and get full of God. That's where the miracles come from. And they'll either look bewildered and walk away and not understanding what I'm saying, or some of them will just smile and they'll know who I am, because nobody lays their life at the feet of Jesus and doesn't get up changed. They're the people I'm looking for. I'm looking for the ones who truly know the kingdom of God. They're the ones that I'm interested in. No, it's all about humbling yourself. It's all about losing yourself and being filled with the life of Jesus. That's what it's all about. But we actually did it the biblical way. We're building ourselves up on our most holy faith. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. That's the way you did it. That's the way people did it all through the 2,000 years we've been waiting for Jesus to come back. Almighty men of God have sat down and prayed their way into the operation of the kingdom of God. It's always been the same, and it always will be until Jesus comes back. Programs won't cut it. They never have, and they never will. It's the power of God in someone's life. And we teach other people to do the same thing, and their lives change, and they start transforming other people through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that easy. Back in 1984, Don and I went to our first church meeting. I was 27 years old. We were married. We had two children. And I'd never been to church before that. And we got baptized by full immersion. And they laid their hands on us. And we were filled with the Holy Spirit. We spoke in tongues. And our whole existence just changed. The next day we were out preaching the gospel, telling people about Jesus. We saw people healed, saw people filled with the Holy Spirit, brought lots of people to the church. And we were involved in the church, operating in all the different parts of the church, helping out. And we did that for 25 years. We knocked on thousands of doors and with pamphlets and told people about Jesus. We went out on the street every Saturday for 7 years straight, singing and playing guitars and handing out pamphlets to people as they walked by. We had market stalls. We set up with banners and all sorts of things to preach the gospel. We've hired halls and had concerts and invited people, all these things we did over the 25 years. And we're continually outreaching, continually trying to find ways to reach people. Look, we tried everything. We tried encouraging people to go outreaching. And everybody did. They all went out and they all handed out pamphlets and knocked on doors. And we prayed for God to do a move in our whole church. And we did that for years and years and years and years. And we never saw a great move of God. And I figured, how much do you have to and seek and call and all that stuff and everything? And we tried every possible way we could get God to pour down fire from heaven. And we just couldn't get it to happen. And the reason I found initially was that we were not vessels capable of carrying a great revival. That was our problem, and we didn't know that. We needed to get ourselves out of the way. We needed to get our own stuff fixed up. We needed to be clean and holy and righteous. We needed to be vessels for honor so that God could pour something out on us and it would be sustainable. That's why great revivals only last for a short period of time, because the vessels can't carry it and they break. So I just changed tack. I went and got myself all cleaned up. And it worked. So how do you get revival? It's really simple. You become a vessel that can receive the presence of God and can receive the prayers that come down from heaven. And then you become the vessel that God uses. It's that simple. So the prayers of the saints, the prayers of the church, go up to heaven. And they sit there. Now these are inspired prayers, not just prayers that are invented by their own vain imagination, but inspired prayers from God by the Holy Spirit. Those prayers don't come back void. They go up to heaven and they sit there waiting for somebody to come along that is capable of carrying those prayers out on the earth. Jesus came to Nathanael and he said to him, "From now on you will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus put himself in a position that all of the prayers of all of the Sanhedrin, of all of the Jewish Hebrew people from hundreds of years have been praying. Jesus was a vessel worthy for all of that to come down, and he didn't break. So if you let the Holy Spirit strengthen you by building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, you'll become a vessel where angels will ascend and descend, and you will walk in an open heaven environment. Wherever you go, wherever you set your foot, people who have been praying will start to see their prayers answered through you, because you become the instrument that God uses for revival in churches, in people's lives, wherever you go. Individuals who are on their knees that morning praying for a move of God or are praying for breakthrough, you step into their life and all of a sudden breakthrough happens because you became a vessel that was able to carry revival. It's that simple. You know, if you've got that burning fire inside you, something's going to happen. It's going to break open. And I found the path, and all I do is show other people, and all they do is just break open into the things of God. I've shown them the door that I've stepped through, which is the Holy Spirit Bible-believing door, and they have done the same stuff. It's that easy. So if you want to take up the invitation, this is the place for you. Start listening to the MP3s. Open up your heart and pick up your cross and walk with us. Thank you. So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.